We're just kind of tackling a word that maybe isn't so common to our language, but it's like an antique word that actually has a lot of value. And when you study it, when the experts take a look, not me, I'm an expert, but when the experts take a look at the antique, they see that it has a value that maybe you didn't realize. And so today we're going to take a look at another word. This week's word is regeneration. And last week was adoption. And if you were with us last week, you heard me talk about some of our experiences with adoption and how it relates to your spiritual adoption and how you are, you were adopted. One of the key components of last week was you were adopted. We talked about your referral being accepted. How there isn't anything on your referral that would say God won't accept that or we can't handle this. It's all accepted. Every single little historical thing that happened in your life, God says, check all, yes. And then we also talked about how you are a child of God, and that makes you an heir in adoption. Son of God, daughter of God, a child of God. And this week, with regeneration, I actually, on Monday morning, I took a run with Robbie. He's my motivation. If I say, do you want to go for a run, he doesn't let it go until we go. So it really helps me get out there, and I push him in the jogger, and it was a really hot morning, and so hot that I had to walk up the big hill. And as we're going up the hill, it's like, I just was thinking about regeneration, and I knew, I was like, okay, what is this? How do I present this? And then it just occurred to me that it's very related. It's almost like we can do this as a part two. And so I want to relate some of the things over the past year in our home and talk about regeneration and what that really means. So let's pray, and then let's get started into this topic. God, I just thank you for this opportunity to speak. And Lord, I pray that you would make it clear to the people sitting out here today, the words that I have to share. And I pray that it would be understandable and would relate to them and they would walk away with something really tangible to think about, this topic of regeneration. Please be with us. Let your spirit be with us today, God. Amen. Amen. Okay, so regeneration. It's a word that really occurs two times, literally two times in the Bible, one in Titus and one in Matthew. We'll take a look at both of those in just a little bit, but its interpretation is like a new birth. And so when I thought about regeneration, it was like a new identity was the first thought that came to my mind. And this happened with us in our adoption. We brought home a boy, and he became a Downie. And he became an American citizen from the Philippines to the United States. And he identified then to a whole new life, a life that he had here completely changed, and he has a new life. And the same is true in our spiritual sense. When we accept Christ, we become a new identity, identify with a new spiritual identity. Along with a new identity, we have a new name. We call ourselves Christian, and in the sense of the adoption, we this is kind of funny, but poor Robbie didn't have a name for quite a while. His birth name we wanted to change, and then we had an idea. We had a nickname, and while we were there, we said that doesn't work either. So he became Buddy Boy until we got home, and I said, "You're going to be Robert." His birth name was Rogelio Patasona Polakai Jr. Isn't that neat? I thought about having that be his name, just throw Downy on the end of it. But that didn't work out. Then there's a new life. A new life in Wisconsin. He came to Wisconsin. We have a new life in Christ. So it's very very related to that idea. And also, guys, with regeneration, it's a little less feel-good than adoption because along with all of these new things, there's new expectations of conduct. Because in our home, There's a family management. And so he had to adjust to how our family would work. I prayed while he was there that somebody would tell him no so that he didn't get surprised when I told him no. And he takes no well. But there's this new expectations of conduct. Now, with all this newness comes a lot of emotion. And this also, I think, is related to regeneration. There's excitement. This is when you get something brand new, it's exciting. And when he came into our home, he was excited about the smallest little things, like getting milk in his cereal. He just shouted, I got milk. He's got to tell everybody he got milk in his cereal. He's like our little court reporter. Whenever something happens, he tells everybody the same thing, and we're all standing in the same room, but he tells everybody the same thing. And he just has to tell us all these new things. There's a lot of joy with this new life, and a lot of just a smile on his face that he identifies with us. One of the first things he ever got was a water bottle that looked just like his older sister's water bottle, and oh, he's so excited just to have that same thing. It's like, this is mine, and that's hers, and they all kind of look the same. And he drank water so much. In fact, we untrained his potty training with his new water bottle. We had to go back and retrain. They had to go so much. But that's also just really true about new life in Christ. If you ever, it's just, we'll talk more about this later, but there's just an excitement about it in your heart and your eyes and everything, and you have joy in your heart. And there's also individualized attention. So now he gets my attention one-on-one in a brand new way. Other than when he was in the orphanage, it wasn't so individualized. It was a little here and there, but he was one of many. And now it's very much he and I. And while we were in the Philippines, I held him very, very much, like the whole time. And he wanted to just, he was here for 2 weeks. And it was really cool that he was just very attached. And that was in a very key part to his kind of new life. And the Father in heaven is that way with you. Individualized attention. He looks at you and talks to you. But as I was thinking about regeneration, I also realized that there are other aspects of it. And a year has gone by since Robbie came home, and some other things have shown up. Fears have shown up. The first night that he was with us, we were in a little cottage. And he was going to stay with us, a little cottage kind of on the orphanage grounds across from his house was here, and there's a little cottage over here. And so we were as a family staying there, and that was scary to him. He slept right on top of me the whole night. And it felt like Tuesday. This week, it was very hot. I put a sheet between us to try to stop the sweat dripping. But that was just an amazing experience. He had a lot of fear, and he wanted to be right there with me. And also, just over the year, different fears have come up. Once there were bugs that he thought were on him, but they weren't. And it was amplified, though, maybe just because of the new environment. Who knows what? Maybe something happened in his past. And that was a really, a couple weeks where like, there's no bugs, there's bugs, bugs, no bugs. He's like, look, no bugs. He thought they were there. And it was just fears can come up. And that can happen in our walk with Christ. Some things can be fearful. Also, sadness. Sometimes there's just plain sadness. He wakes up sad once in a while, just crying, missing what he had. Sometimes there's misunderstandings where he thought one thing was going to go well and it didn't go well, or we gave him a box of raisins and he ate them and they're wonderful, and one day he found a little box of mega snaps from fireworks and he ate those too, and that didn't go so well. It exploded in his mouth. It was a misunderstanding, and that can happen in our spiritual life too as we're studying this new thing. Or we think this works, and we don't understand. We kind of dive in. We have to work at understanding. There's hardships, like winter. He had to experience winter. And yet in our spiritual life, there's hardships as well. where we have to go in and maybe go through a hard part of our life or a hard season of our life. And also discipline. He hears no, I think, a lot more than he did his first 2.5 years. There's discipline where he needs to be trained. So if this is true, we need to understand regeneration. We need to, in Philippians 2, verse, I don't have this up there on the screen, but I just wanted to quick allude to it here. Philippians 2:12 talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And there's this new life that we have in regeneration, and yet there's some sort of working out that we have to do with it. What I want to do here today is take a look at a little bit of what is regeneration, like how does it make us new, and what really happens, and what does it mean for me, and just kind of give you kind of an overview of the word. Maybe it's something that you haven't studied before or haven't really thought of before, and then I want to give you some action points that you can kind of take home and practice. So that's where we're going here. So let's start off with regeneration, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about how does it make us new. Titus 3, verse 5. This is one of the verses where the Greek word translates into regeneration. It says, "He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." So there's a Holy Spirit washing that happens and renews us. It gives us that new life, gives us that new identity, and it works, guys, in the depths of our soul. It's where that part of you that lives forever gets that renewal. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, but it's not by us. That's kind of the first point I found in this verse for you. The work of the Holy Spirit, it's nothing that we can do. We can't wash ourselves clean like the Holy Spirit can. When we find that point of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in and kind of cleans out the old you, and you get a new you. And if that's the case, then it's not a natural rebirth or a physical rebirth. It's a very different kind of rebirth. And if you remember the story of Jesus talking, I believe, to Nicodemus, and it gets us through John chapter 3, and it comes to John 3:16 with the "For God so loved the world" verse. But before that, I think there's an explanation of spiritual rebirth that I want to talk about. So let's look at a spiritual rebirth and what that really means. In John 3, verses 7 and 8, it says, "You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So it's like he's describing this idea of being born again. And he's like, how can you enter the womb and be born again? And it's not natural. It's spiritual born again. It's a spiritual rebirth. And he compares it to the wind. You know, you can see evidence of the wind blowing, but you don't actually see it blowing. So he just gave him this picture of your rebirth is a spiritual rebirth. And what I pulled from here it's an inward working, but there's outward evidence. And so the Spirit works inside of us, and yet there's some outward evidence of that inner working. Just like the wind that blows and you see tree limbs moving, but you don't see the action of the wind. So when we believe, have you ever seen a Sunday? I remember some of my real close friends that have seen salvation. A Sunday comes up and you shake their hand and it's like, man, something happened to you. There's something new in your heart and your smiles. It's like, oh man, your eyes are just lit up. It's that rebirth. You can actually see evidence of it if you watch someone go from death to life. And that's the idea of a spiritual rebirth. There's a noticeably different outward kind of evidence from that inward working of the Spirit upon that salvation time. And that's your rebirth. It's literally like the The spirit of man literally joins up with the spirit of God, and God enters into your life, makes you a new person. And you cannot be the same old person when that Holy Spirit comes in you. You can't just be the same old person. You have a new life. Okay, so along with a spiritual rebirth, there's also a moral rebirth. And I know morals are, this is kind of where you're like, oh, don't talk to me about morals. I don't push your morals on me. Maybe you've heard sometimes, as maybe in culture here in this country, but there is a moral rebirth, and it happens because of the Spirit entering into your heart. So thinking about before salvation, there's a certain way that you maybe acted, or some things you maybe did. And after, when the Spirit enters you, there's this just new birth of morality, and you change the way you think. Before God, we were morally bankrupt. We had no sense of morals that God maybe wants us to understand. And so when the Spirit enters us, it gives us this rebirth. So let's look at Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2, to understand some of this working of the moral rebirth. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." The idea of the world, either you left it and found Christ, or maybe you were just kind of born into a home like me where salvation came at 6 years old. And so the world is just always out there kind of calling. Come on, try this. Come on, try that. But there's a Holy Spirit in me that says, something's not right. I don't think you should go try that. And so do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And there's a renewing of your mind. And in this place, I believe we are called to holiness. Was I pulled from this thought here, pulled from this verse, we are called to holiness. God says, be holy, as I am holy. And so there's this change of how we acted. And in this new life, there's a moral rebirth. It changes how we think, changes even what we value, and our behavior ends up getting adjusted as we experience this new life, this new rebirth. Now, the world that you left, it's not completely gone, is it? So regeneration is a work in process. The past could easily get, you could go back to it. It would be worse than if when you were before you were saved, because your spirit would just not feel good there. Now with this rebirth, you have a moral rebirth where you want to serve God and you want to serve him in your choices, in your life choices. That's part of regeneration. One other aspect of regeneration that I thought of as I was studying this word is it makes you a new creation. And that's just a really neat concept to think about. A new creation, a brand new creature. Imagine a creature that never was created and suddenly there is one. It's almost kind of like what happens, where you were once in the world and then through salvation became a new creature, a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." This new creation just emerges with salvation. And it's that regeneration, that's that new birth in you, and it's a creating a brand new creature. And if you ever have brand new things, don't you sometimes want to maintain them? I think you have to maintain your new creation. One of the funny things in our home is I always compare my Bible to my wife's Bible. We bought them fairly new, fairly recently together, and I keep mine in the box and make sure it doesn't get all crinkled and wrinkly. And she folds it up and sticks it in her pocket. And so I'm keeping mine a new creation, and you're just letting yours get all ruined. I read mine. No, I don't know. So I mean, just the idea that there's certain maintenance that we need to do with our new things. A brand new car, you want to keep it maintained. If you don't, it's going to deteriorate. And there's a new creation in this world. We have some maintenance to do with our new creation. See, this regeneration really is a starting point of spiritual growth. And starting is easy. Starting the first part of my run on Monday was easy. The last hill was hard, and I walked. And that can be pretty much how things can happen. And as I was thinking about regeneration, I realized that it's not as feel good for, like, it feels good in the beginning, but adoption is just awesome. It feels so good. This one has some effort and kind of some work. Has a little discipline. There's hardships, kind of like what happens with little Robbie coming into my house. There's just some things, there's fears and maybe there's sadness, but he has a new life and we have to work through it. We have to work this out, this regeneration. Just in summary on this aspect, this part of this morning, we have the Holy Spirit is kind of our it's where the regeneration happens by the Spirit. It also is a rebirth, spiritual and moral, giving us that new life, that new creation. It's a new creation, and there's some maintenance that we need to do with it. what I want to do now for the rest of this morning is just kind of go through and think about how sometimes there's obstructions to our new creation, our new life. And it can be that we have to go about this life in a certain way. There's certain things we can do that can get us to our destination, our Father's home, our destination while we're on earth. Remember last week we talked about the Holy Spirit. I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. And so there's the Holy Spirit is there, and we got to use it to help us in this regeneration, in this rebirth. I hope that makes sense to you. So I want to go through three kind of obstructions or pitfalls or things that can happen in our lives as we're working out this new life, this new regeneration. Sometimes it requires discipline. Well, let's get into the first one. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So one pitfall, one obstruction that can happen is wanting your old ways. Sometimes a little buddy boy wakes up from a nap and is crying, like I described before. And we talk about, earlier on there was misunderstandings. I didn't know why. And as his language improved, we understood he's sad about what he had. And you think, well, that was an orphanage. There wasn't a mommy and a daddy there for you, you know? I mean, I don't try to convince them with, like, that way. We usually just hug and hold and let the tears go and let the tears last for a little while. And then we come up with some, you know, kind of walk him around the house and he sees his picture on the wall and we have a scrapbook for him. He sees his kind of what happened as he kind of got into our home, and it changes his attitude a little bit. And one time I made the mistake of offering ice cream to change his attitude on that a little bit. His next nap, he woke up the same way and said, I need ice cream. So it's a balance. It's a balance. I mean, we understand sometimes ice cream can help our sadness, but not every time. So wanting your old ways, sometimes what you had might seem better. It's like it was easier then. I didn't struggle, so maybe, I don't know, it's what I always did, and you know, it's what I always knew, and now this new life, this whole experience of God in my life, maybe it's just getting to be a little hard, and I want what I had before. Well, let's look at Ephesians 4:22-23 and speak to this and get some action point I think you can take home. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Put off your old self. Put it off. Put it aside. If this is the old self and this is your new direction, It's a completely turning around. It's going a new direction. And you have to leave the old self behind, the old self that wants maybe what that was because it was fun. It was easier. I didn't have to try hard at anything. I could just go about my day. Things kind of break apart in that old self, though. Families fall apart in that old self, and lives get ruined in that old way. There's things that go wrong in that old way. In this way, it might be a little bit difficult. It might be hard, but you've been made new, and it's in your mind. He says here, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And my action point for you today is to renew your mind daily. It's got to be every day. Our minds need a renewing. They need a mental kind of start new. Every morning, I want to open my Bible and I'm going to just read something. God, I don't know, I'm just going to read something. Sometimes there's a Bible plan we've talked about where you can read the Bible and just go through the year, a Bible in a year, or you come up with your own reading plan, or you spend a month on a chapter or something. It's a renewal. It's prayer time. Give me some time in prayer, thinking about how, you know, there is where you can really connect with the Spirit. Giving your time to your Bible, to praying, you're feeding your spiritual life. If it was a new puppy, you've got to feed the puppy, right? It's a new spiritual life. You've got to feed it. You've got to have it grow. It requires discipline. It requires some habits, making up some habits. It's a habit for me to open my Bible in the morning. And it took a long time. I can't say it was all my life, but it became a habit to just open it up. And it's sitting there next to breakfast, and it just, my day starts that way, putting some spiritual life into me. So renew your mind daily. That's where we can feed our spiritual life. And if you don't take some time to put in this discipline, this habit, and this diligence about your life, you can find yourself kind of losing, this is my next point for you, losing the necessary intensity. See, the spiritual life that we live can't be just walked through just ho-hum. That's not ho-hum. It's intense. We've got to be intense about it. We've got to be intentional about it. We've got to take our life and go the direction God's asking us to go with some intensity. Some things that Rob was sharing just about talking to dads, there's intensity there. It's not a walk in the park necessarily. So looking at Philippians 3:12, look at Paul speaking here. Paul has an understanding of regeneration. He knows that he has a new life, but he knows it's not all the way done yet. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." He knows he hasn't already gotten there. He knows he's still here. And yet he talks about pressing on to take hold of that which God has for Jesus took hold of me. We've been gripped by Christ. Now you keep and grip Christ back. Take hold of it. Don't let it go. There's an intensity. It's like, I'm not going to do nothing. What happens if you do nothing? There's a pretty good chance you're going to kind of move back towards the old self. And you think, oh, I'm fine. I'm just kind of going about my day. And slowly you're back towards your old self. You'll just slip. It's kind of like if there's pressure against you, you're going to go with it if you don't go against it. And that's what the world will do to us. It'll pull us in and ask us to come back to the old self if we don't say, wait, no, I'm striving. I'm going this way. I'm going to work at it going this way, going towards the Lord. So sometimes in your walk, you have just a holding ground where things might be really difficult. And so you're feeling pressure, and it's really a lot of pressure. And so you're just doing everything you can just to stay where you are. And that's okay. And then when that pressures are less as life goes on, you might be able to move as you maintain that intensity towards following Jesus. See, Take hold of your spiritual rebirth today. There's a striving. Salvation is brand new. You know, adoption is something that happened. And this regeneration has only begun. And we kind of have to start as it is brand new today and work towards that final regeneration that I'll talk about at the very end here. So, one more action point for you. What happens when we're experiencing these obstructions or these pitfalls is that, you know, at salvation, when we kind of have the Spirit of God enter us, and we fall back and we start going back to the old self or conforming to the ways of the world as it maybe sucks in and pulls us into that life, there's actually a striving against the Holy Spirit that can happen. And you have it in you, and it wants to work in you. It has a work to do in your life, and you need to let him do that work. And yet sometimes we can strive against it, not even thinking about it, not even realizing that that Holy Spirit has a work to do. And yet it says here in Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." There can be an actual grieving of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. He's like, oh, don't do that. Don't go that way. And you can kind of sense it sometimes if you've ever let your mind just kind of go where it wants to go or do any kind of conforming to the world. Maybe it just, oh, it's okay. And yet there's something in you. It's like, something's not right. It's the Holy Spirit saying, go. Go with me. Go forward. Take your new life. Let the Holy Spirit rule in your life. There's your action point. He wants to. He wants to, but you have a choice. You can say no to it, and I don't want to today. I'm kind of tired today. Maybe tomorrow. Oh, the Holy Spirit just has this grieving sense. No, today, let's go. Don't lose intensity. Fight for it. Pursue it. The Holy Spirit has character qualities it wants to work on you with. Just your serving. You're giving of your life to serve others. Holy Spirit has a gift it wants to work in you. Holy Spirit has just this working, and it's pursuing you to say, come with me. God is saying, come with me. I want to go this direction. You have this new life. Don't be pulled into the old ways. Our action points today, guys. Renew daily. Take hold of your spiritual rebirth and let the Holy Spirit rule in your life. Those things really can take this idea of a spiritual and moral rebirth, this Holy Spirit rebirth in you, this new creation, it can, and it'll maintain it. The reason why it's a maintenance that I think is the only other place that the actual Greek interpretation of regeneration occurs when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and towards the end of his own life, he's just sharing with them, and they're asking him some questions, and he mentions regeneration, but it's different than the Titus 3:5 regeneration. This regeneration that Jesus is talking about is the final regeneration of all things. So we have a new life now, and in the regeneration of all things is when Christ comes and makes all things new. Here he says, he's talking to his 12 disciples. Jesus, in Matthew 19:28, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things," that word renewal is translated regeneration, "when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne," and this is the point where there's a new creation, a new heavens, a new earth. And at that point, guys, our regeneration is completed. In other words, you won't feel the pressures. You'll just have it as it is meant to be. He mentions in here, talking to the 12, that they'll have You who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones. He's talking about his disciples, and that's one aspect of the new life. But the point here is that the regeneration of all things is going to occur. And one day, it won't be so difficult. One day, it won't be so hard to maintain your new life. I feel like regeneration could last for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's a renewal of the mind. We just kind of scratched the surface of it today. I hope you understand where regeneration comes from, that it's that spiritual rebirth, and that it's a new you, and it's an inward working, the Holy Spirit working inside of you. But don't give up. Okay, every new thing needs maintenance on this earth. One day there'll be no need for maintenance, and that day is coming. That day is coming. All right, let's pray, guys. Lord, I just thank you for the chance to just explore this topic of regeneration with my brothers and sisters here. I pray, God, that you would help us understand our new life, that we have a spiritual rebirth, that we have a moral rebirth, that we have a new creation. And help us, God, not to conform to ways of the world, the patterns of the world. Help us to have that renewing of our mind to go forward, God. And at that new regeneration, when the world is made new, new heaven and a new earth, and you return, Lord Jesus, I pray that we're ready, that we have worked at our new life, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.